Okay, I would like you to go to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. This morning's lesson is the doctrine of separation. The doctrine of separation. It is so much in the Bible that it's kind of like you feel like a trombone player in a phone booth. You know what I mean? I know they don't make those anymore because people don't need those. But it is so big. It is such a large subject. When you look at it, Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, come on in. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 20, it gets you started. And here we go. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Now, the word separation, being in the Bible, you need to understand this. Jesus saves by you simply trusting him as your Savior. But Jesus did not save you to save you from hell, although that's a benefit you get at salvation. Every person that trusts Christ gets saved from hell. And that's a plus, but that's not the main reason Jesus saved you. You get to go to heaven when you die if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But that is not the main reason Jesus saved you. You get peace and joy when you get saved. And you have it, but that is not the main reason Jesus saved you. The main reason Jesus saved you is because what you were before you got saved, our children are born sinners. You were born a sinner. You do what you do on the outside because of what you are on the inside. You are a sinner. And God says, your sins and iniquities have separated me from you, and I can't get close to you. Jesus steps in, and he dies on the cross. You accept him as your Savior, and he says, now the sins are gone. Now I can be close to you and talk with you and have fellowship with you. That's why Jesus saved you. Yes, you don't have to go to hell when you die. You get to go to heaven. You get joy and peace. But the main reason you were saved is so that Jesus could spend time with you. He died for you so that he could be with you without our sin offending him. That's why when you get saved, he comes in and it says you're transformed from a child of hell to a child of light, a child of Satan to a child of God. What you are is changed on the inside. Now, but that does not mean you spend time with God. Now, your sins are all gone. Jesus rose again from the dead. Your sins are all gone. His blood washes you white, and anytime you want, anytime. I do not have to bow on my knees to pray to God. I don't have to shut my eyes. I can talk with God. I am always in his presence as his child because 22 years ago I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm always in his presence. You say, well, what about your sin? It was put on the cross 2,000 years ago when he died for me. I really am going somewhere here, so just kind of stay with me just for a second, okay? I can talk with God. I can walk with God. I can do activities with God. He's right here. He lives inside of me because I got saved. I trusted him. He is closer than my next breath. Now, the purpose of separation. God says here, separation comes two ways. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 7, and let's look at some words here. If you're going to understand separation, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Stop. You have two words. You have sanctify, and you have the word holy. They are not the same. Separation is two-part. Sanctify, if you sanctify something, you set it apart from. Let me give you an example of someone who is sanctified, but they are not holy. Do you know about the Amish? They don't. Normal Amish, I know there's like three stages of Amish. Some, you know, like they sin to own a car, but you can ride in somebody else's. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the buggy people, okay? All right? You know what I'm talking about? the horse and buggy people, all right? I'm just trying to... They, as a community, they believe in sanctification, that they are to set themselves apart so far from the world. No electricity, no baths, we were with an Amish community, and they're hard, great, hardworking people. Just their doctrine's horrible. It's a work salvation. They don't do anything, quote unquote, that is their definition of their and Bible doesn't have a whole lot to do with it either. And you heard that when Brother Schrock was here in November. The Bible doesn't have a lot. It's whatever the elders of that community decide how that community's run. Then they determine that worldly, and they do believe in sanctification. There's a whole list of stuff they don't do. But they're not holy. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're lost. They think works will get them to heaven. They think their community, that they are so sanctified that they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Separation comes two ways. First of all, when you get saved, God says, sanctify yourself. Take the things... Okay, let me give you an example of me. And by the way, God works in your life differently than He works in mine, but He does work. And everybody in here has something. If you're a child of God, God is working on you in an area. And it's different for every person in here. Let me tell you how Jesus started with me. When I got saved... And I think you've heard, some of you, bless your heart, you've heard this story three times. When I got saved, my dad told me before I went in the Marine Corps, well, when I was in the Marines, he came and stayed with me before I was deployed, stayed on the base there in Jacksonville. And he said, son, you sure do swear a lot. Now, when your own dad looks at you and says you cuss a lot, that'll play head games with you, okay? And it got to me. I would get saved 2.5 months later. We got on ship, I got saved. The thing God touched my heart about started in saying, Greg Nash, you need to change your filthy mouth. Sanctify yourself. Well, God, if you want me to give up cussing, I guess that's something you're going to have to do. Sanctify yourself. You do it. Now, I'll convict you about it, because when I got saved, I'd slip, and then... You know, I knew I wasn't supposed to be cussing. I knew that. It took me 3 days. I'll never forget it either. Someone said, if you'll just memorize verses on not cussing. I had some neat Christians that showed me verses in the Bible. Just memorize these verses here. I did too. And I was like, Lord, please help me. Guess what? It took me 3 days to get rid of my cussing. I can honestly say, I don't even think cuss words. I don't. I wanted to get to that point. Okay? One time I had just gotten saved, just got off ship, and it was time to go home to Michigan, and the roads were slippery. And my sister and some people were in the car that I was taking to church, and the thing, I was in this big car, and it started sliding. And I'll never forget, I remember when I got convicted about that, I thought a cuss word. As the thing started breaking loose, I was like, oh. And I remember, nobody else knew what I said or thought. But I just thought, the Lord heard it. He hears my thoughts. I remember dealing with that. All I'm trying to tell you is this. Was I still drinking when I got saved? Yes, I was. Did I still have a tobacco problem when I got saved? Yes, I did. But God didn't say, I want you to do all of it at once. Every once in a while, you'll meet somebody that does. God didn't do that with me. The first thing God touched this boy's heart about was this filthy trap of mine. I had to get that fixed. So all I did was I just prayed about it, and I memorized Bible verses on cussing, and I just worked at it. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from. It was 6 months. It was 6 months till I ended up getting rid of my tobacco. Now, it was only about 4 months till I got rid of the alcohol. But do you see the steps? You understand? God didn't go... Poof, you're a Christian. Now, everything bad is out of your life that is outward, by the way. I'm not perfect. Nobody in here is, right? You may get rid of the drinking. You may get rid of the whatever on the outside, but we all deal with pride, right? We all deal with selfishness, independence from God. I don't need God and all that stuff. Sanctification is set apart It means set apart from. God says, the next part of the verse says, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes unto them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Watch this. God says, I don't want you getting cleaned up so you can look at a bunch of Christians and say, look at all that I don't do. God says, I want you cleaned up so that you can get close to me and be holy. And you are not holy if you're not sanctified. But it is a two-step process. And the reason we teach separation is because you cannot. If God was dealing, let me just use, I'm going to use me as an example. When God was dealing with this boy about his filthy mouth, I could not go forward in my Christian life until I dealt with what God my Father wanted me to deal with. Did I have other issues? Yes, but God was growing me one step at a time. And that's why it's just so important. Separation is a major part. Well, God doesn't look on the outward. God looks on the inward. Wait a second. If you use that Bible verse, that's talking about leadership. God does look on the outward for leadership. Did you know this? People know your testimony based on your separation. Okay. And they know that I think I've used this illustration. If I lead you to the Lord, okay? But the night before, I was in your neighborhood at 3 in the morning, drunker than Cootie Brown. How dry I am. You know what I mean? Just making an absolute nuisance on the street. You know what I mean? In front of your neighborhood. And the next day, now think about this just for a second. And the next day, I show up at your doorstep. I got my Bible. And I say, my name's Greg Nash. I'm from Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'd like to show you how to go to heaven. Would you listen to me? That's what separation does in the eyes of man. If you cuss and you do all the things that the world knows a Christian should not be doing, do you think they could give a rip on what you have to say about the Bible? You lose your testimony. You don't lose your salvation. When I got saved, I'm always saved. But who's going to listen to somebody that is partaking of the world? Your separation is really between you and God. But I just want you to... Here, let's look into some more verses here. Did you know that? Go ahead and go to Isaiah chapter 59. Go to Isaiah 59. We're going to come back to Leviticus 20 in just a second. When you leave here this morning, I want you thinking about separation. There are some churches, there's rock and roll churches. And because you have a music director for a Sunday school teacher, I'm not going to tell you I'm a music expert. I'm just going to tell you I do know what the Bible teaches about music. I do know where rock music came from, period, end of story. And there is no such thing as mixing the message of God and the music of the world. Look, when the contemporary singers are talking about how they do their concerts for Christians and then they're having immoral activities after the concerts, these are big-name people that are making millions of dollars a year in the name of Christianity, and their own testimony is, I'm getting out of it because after the concerts, we would commit adultery. That's because the music they're listening to lends to it. You cannot mix Christian words and the devil's music, period. You can't do that. Nobody can. And by the way, it's only been happening since the 1970s where they tried to bring the music of the world into the church. And nowadays, guess how many people pick their church based on the music? 86% of America doesn't pick it. They could care less what the Bible teaches. They pick their church based on, I want to know if they play the music I like here. And so, guess what? You got all types of non-denominational hodgepodge, rock and roll churches. Churches are going rock and roll because that's what gets a crowd. And after all, that means you're successful. Separation. Why don't we have rock music in this church? We don't have rock music in this church because of separation. We believe we're supposed to set ourselves apart from that. That's why, okay, here, watch this. Isaiah 59, verse 1, ready? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. In a day and age where people are so interested in being politically correct, there's non-denominational churches in town that boast themselves, we take homosexuals and we don't have any problem with it. I'll help a homosexual, but the average homosexual that I've spoken with doesn't want the Bible and doesn't want to get saved. And no, I've spoken with queers before, and I'm kind to them, and I'm nice to them. But I will do anything I can to help somebody. And if a homosexual feels trapped and they want out of that lifestyle, I'll do everything I can to help them. But the average homosexual, when you mention the Bible and how God says that is not an alternative lifestyle, it is a sin and abomination to God, they get angry and violent. I don't care whether it's homo or lesbian. It doesn't make any difference. They're violent people. Your sexuality is linked to your personality. And when you violate God in that area, you enter into a realm, you understand, that is outside the Bible. I'll help any homosexual, and I promise you I would. I don't go, oh, you're a homo. I'll help them if they want help. I've tried to. But in a day and age, we'll take, and this is how some of the independent churches will advertise. We take homos. Well, so do we, but we'll tell them how to get saved. And we don't curb the Bible. We'll preach it straight to them. Did you know everybody practices separation? We don't practice separation. We're a church that loves everybody. We love everybody also. But God says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Everybody practices separation. You are either so worldly that God cannot get close to you, or you are trying to get away from the world so that you can get close to God. Either way, that's two spectrums of separation. And either you are practicing one or the other. You are either separated from God or you're separated from the world to some degree. But everybody practices separation. We don't believe in separation. It's all through the Bible. Let's look at one more. Would you go back to Leviticus chapter 20, and then we need to go to 2 Corinthians. Leviticus chapter 20, real quick. I'm back now to the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Look at verse 22. Now, I know this is talking about Israel. I know that. But you can apply this spiritually to your life. When God says, I saved you for myself and I've separated you from other people. Watch this. Look at verse 22. I think if these verses aren't marked in your Bible, they need to be. Okay, watch this. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes. I'm at Leviticus 20:22, and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall not inherit their land. I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God. Look at this right here. Which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground. Look at this. Which I have separated from you as unclean. I love verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people. What a phrase, that ye should be mine. What a verse. And I know you say, you're talking about dietary laws where they say you don't eat pork and you don't eat, you know, catfish. I eat catfish. I eat pork. Amen. I had some this morning. Glory to God. I'm so glad when I got saved, I didn't have to give up bacon. Okay. That's Old Testament dietary laws. Now watch this just for a second though. I think God's point here in the Old Testament is when people look at you, your walk should be different. Your talk should be different. The way you carry yourself, your clothing should be different. It should say Christian. And that's why, okay, if you want, now I'm going to go to a real far extreme here. Are you ready? If you want into a homosexual bar, do you realize all you have to do is talk like one, wear your hair like one, and wear your clothes like one, and they won't ask you any questions? You know that, right? hair, clothing, and jargon get you into a society. That's all you got to do. Doesn't mean you're one. God says when it comes to the outward, He says your diet. He said the places you go, how you act. He said, you're mine. You belong to me. You are not purposeless. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We just live life, whatever, you know. I mean, no, I've been given a purpose when I got saved. I was pointed in a direction. My life has been changed. You say, because you're a preacher. Because I'm a child of God. My purpose is soul winning. That was given to me when I got saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. That was promised me in the Word of God who cannot lie. I'm supposed to live differently. I'm supposed to walk differently. And I could. That's why I think some things need to happen when you get saved. One of them is you take a good dose of I don't give a rip. And that's why you can take. That's why, you know, you can watch some people that they're so peer pressure driven. They have to get weaned from that when they get saved. Because guess what? The world is going to pressure you. How come you don't talk like? Because I don't live to please you. I'm not trying to earn your smile. And I'll help you. And I'll clothe you if you're naked. And I'll feed you. I'll help you if you're sick. I'll do anything for you. But I'm not living to make you happy. I'm living to make Him happy. This is my guidebook. And I'm different. And I'm not going to hell when I die. And I'm glad about it, too. Separation is something that is, I don't think we talk about it all the time, and I'm glad, okay? But it is so much in the Bible. I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. God says, you belong to me. Can we go to one other place? Can we go to the New Testament now? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The blessings of separation is this. You get to be more used of God. If I take that trash can back there, I tell you what, if I buy a brand new one from Lowe's, that's that size, okay? We'll call it a 50 gallon, 38, who cares? If I buy it brand new from Lowe's and I dump alcohol in it and I sterilize the inside of it, you wouldn't mind me putting cold drinks in it and then you getting some refreshment out of it, right? But if you don't clean that trash can, you can only use it for a trash can. The cleaner you are in the Christian life, the more God can use you to do. Are you still saved even though you don't separate? Yes, you are. But what can God use you to do? Nothing. Nothing. That trash can is as valuable to me as it is clean, and it gives multi purposes because it's clean. Does that make sense? Why do we separate? So we can tell others, guess what? I don't do this. And I don't do this. I'm a better Christian than you. We don't do that for bragging rights. That's the stupidest thing I ever saw in my life. We do it to be used of God. Can we read real quickly 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Look at verse number 14. Ready? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, look at this last verse, verse 17 here. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Do you know why we separate from wrong and sin? And why we do, watch this, I'm not in competition with you. I could care less what God told you about no this week. And I'm not being cruel to you at all. My main concern is what did God tell me I can't do. I hope that makes sense to you. Because I just know this. God's growing every person in this room. There's no such thing as someone who's sitting in here that's a child of God that's going, God's done with me. I'm not growing in any area. Not how I talk to people, not how I mean, God's done. There's no such thing. God is growing every person in this room, and He's working powerfully in your life every day. Every day. But the reason we separate, the reason we say we don't want to tell God no on anything, Lord, you tell me, and I'm yours. I'll do what you say. I'm not doing what the crowd says. I'll do what you say and what you touch my heart about. It's for usability, and I already touched that with you with a trash can. Second of all, because it says, and will be a father unto them, and they shall be my children. You experience the joy of salvation when you separate yourself from the world. You enjoy God. You enjoy being saved. That's one of the perks. Oh, this morning's been, look, this subject, you can hit this. I did not hit this rough this morning, okay? I was very nice. There's areas I can go into. I tried to use me as an example, but this is so much in the Bible. There really are people you're not supposed to hang around. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There really is. As a Christian, there really are people you're not supposed to hang around. You have to take it seriously as a Christian. I hope this has been a help to you. I really do. God's working in your life, and I want to be a help to you and use the Bible. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for our church. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that, please, you would bless these sweet people. I ask that, Lord, you would continue to work in their family and in their marriage. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us according to your word. Lord, we love you, and we need you. Bless our preacher as he preaches to us, and Lord, As you touch my heart this morning, I don't know what it's going to be on, but Lord, I don't ever want to tell you no. You can't talk to me about that. Please, I'm the clay. Just mold me and change whatever you want to. Please, I need you. In Jesus' name, amen.